And I think that just that flipped the switch in me where I was like, okay, fuck you. Watch this.
Welcome. You're listening to Jim and Them, episode 811, part two. That's right. Suck our dicks, 7-Eleven. We're 100 better than you. Fuck you.
Suck our dicks, 7-Eleven. We're coming for you, 9-11.
Yeah, we're coming for you, 9-11. You're next.
Pussy. Pussy clot.
Yay. Hey, who's that guy backing me up as I talk shit about both 7-Eleven and 9-11? It is, of course, Mr. Jeff Murphy!
Yeah! Wakanda forever, baby! Yeah. As you know, I'm kind of a wreck right now. Black Twitter is on my ass again.
Okay.
Yeah. I consider myself an ally, you know. I had a black square. I voted for Kamala. You order grilled chicken and waffles one time. You fucking milk Karen has a freak out. Thanks, woke. The breading hurts my tummy. Okay? I'm viral now. Fuck you, Black Twitter. This is McDonald's fault.
I think this is your new best joke.
The McDouble is $3.50 right now. I had to branch out, go to Roscoe's, and get fucking racially profiled. January 6th happened for less. I'm sorry. I'm worked up.
It's okay.
Anyways, back to you, Mike.
Thank you so much. Hey, I'm going to ask this next guy what he thinks about 9-11, but only after I say his name. What's his name? It's Jim Scampoli.
Yo. Thank you so much for that fine intro. It's funny you should bring up 9-11 because...
Yeah. I'm hoping to find out your thoughts.
For the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've been listening to radio shows from 9-11. Like, I've been listening to ONA from early September 2001 through 9-11 through, I think I'm up to like September 26th or 27th.
Uh-huh.
And dude, I've just been getting juiced up about going over there and fucking leveling the Middle East, bro.
Yeah.
I can't believe what the fuck they did to us. I'm so fired up about it.
Was Kumia real anti-war with the Middle East?
Yep. He was very level-headed on like when there were reports coming out of like
beating up Sikhs and stuff.
Yeah, cab drivers getting beat up and stuff. He's like, come on, those people came here.
Really?
Well, he was like, those people left those shitholes
okay.
to get away from. I mean, it's true, though.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Those people left those
no,
places
I was like,
to get away from that shit to come here. They did the American thing. they should be championed.
Yeah.
They're not like these motherfuckers these that came through.
These animals in the streets.
It's not like the Palestinians that were celebrating when the towers fell.
Yeah.
I can't wait until Bush fucking...
The Palestinians?
...nukes that fucking place, bro.
Excited? All he has to do is find the weapons, Jim.
I'm high. Well, no, it's not... We're not there yet. We're not at the Iraq, like, weapons of mass destruction. We're still at...
We're in Afghanistan.
Get us Osama bin Laden. We need Osama bin Laden. This motherfucker knocked down the towers. Yeah. Can you believe this shit?
Yeah.
We're at the point where it's like September 26th or 27th, and we're like, why the fuck haven't we bombed anything yet? Are you serious that we haven't bombed anything? We had to, you know, the PC fucking mind virus that we think is new here in this day and age of 2024. Back at, like, right after 9/11, they called it, like, Operation, like, Infinite Justice or something, and they had to change the name because it was a little too offensive.
Infinite Justice.
Am I wrong? It wasn't a country that did this to us. It was a man from a country,
yeah,
right?
But who helped him? Huh? Who helped
us.
Him? Who's hiding that motherfucker? Who's giving him shelter right now? Yeah. Who's not turning over every fucking rock to find this guy and bring him to us?
Yeah.
I remember I had a Canadian friend, and her dad was always like he pissed me off so much. He's always like, 9/11 was a good thing. Knocked those Americans down a couple notches. They think they're better than us.
I would beat
that motherfucker.
I'm like,
a Canadian man?
I would beat him to the ground.
Listen here, I'm a Canadian. I'm like, I think.
Doesn't he sound like
he's crazy? Is he like from Calgary or something?
I don't know, man. But he sounded like a cowboy. This is what I sound like. And I was just like, but if we're supposed to be pals.
If he said that to my face, I would tackle him and just pound his fucking face.
I was always very, very, I was like, I didn't get heated about stuff like that very often, but for some reason, just like the patriotism in me was like running extra high, and it always made me so mad that he'd
steam
say that.
Coming out
dude, one of the funniest absurd things to come out of that is John Valby's toast to Osama bin Laden.
I don't know.
Let me find it real quick.
Who's John Valby?
He's just one of those guys that does dirty piano songs.
Okay.
And apparently this was like...
He's a real Ricky
of like
Stenick.
A big hit.
Apparently this was like 2 days after it happened, like in New York in a small club or something like that.
Okay.
This must be it. No, that's not it. There's one that's a... This must be it.
Here's to Osama bin Laden!
Boo.
That towelhead scum. May the U.S. blast his ass to kingdom come.
Holy shit.
He's a bagless wonder that lives in the cave. May Marines piss Budweiser on that cocksucker's
neck. Yeah, Budweiser.
This is free heat, though. You just fucking... Easy,
being a chicken shit faggot lives off camel turds with a topping of maggot.
Yeah.
Osama thinks we don't have the guts to come and blow off his Islamic nuts, but now America is done with his crap, so let's just nuke the fuckers off the map.
It does sound like an ECW
so here's
crowd.
Osama, that son of a bitch, may his pecker fall off with a 7-year itch.
Whoa, yeah.
And may they beat on his balls with a big brass hammer till his asshole whistles the Star Spangled Banner. USA! USA! USA!
Starts a USA chant.
Oh, man.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, that's what it was, man. People were fucking fired up. And I'm fired up. I can't wait till we get over there.
Yeah, you excited?
Can't wait to get over there. Mop the motherfuckers up, bro.
Get in, get out. Fucking.
Dude, you know what was so funny, though, is there is a guy that calls in that's like, you know, we need to stop. You need to stop talking about how we need to go over there and like bomb
them
or
go
to war.
You're gonna be there like 20 years. And
yeah, like this guy's like, you need to like stop saying all this shit or like talking about how we have to go to war. And someone else called up and was like, hey, tell that peace queer to get off the phone. Called him a peace queer. Made me laugh so hard.
What an insane insult. Peace queer.
Get that peace queer out of here.
Yeah, love homo.
Good Lord. Get out of here, you peace queer.
Peace queer rocks. That's I love that Doors song.
But yeah, I also was kind of surprised at like how quickly it seemed like things were back to, like, it's not normal, but like kind of normal. Like, because they were talking about like concerts and shows and stuff, but in my memory, like, it was a long time.
I do remember taking a while. Maybe different cities it was different. Yeah,
but you'd think in New York.
Well, New York's like, big and kind of can't stop, so maybe that's why it like recovers faster technically.
But it's been interesting to just hear the like, because a lot of the beginning, the day it happened, they went on the air and they just kind of like just took calls. So a lot of it's just people talking about their feelings and stuff like that.
Bunch of peace squares.
It's quickly within like a week or two, there's some guy calling up saying his dad died and he's clearly doing a bit. But they're even like, come on, you just want to get on the radio? Like, clearly you're, because he's like talking to Jim Norton and like, I don't know, just saying, well, he's like, yeah, you know, it sucked really bad. My dad died, but at least we're getting $100,000 out of it. And they're like, come on, what are you doing? Why are you calling in with this?
Good Lord.
Righteous Bucks, though. 2001?
That was also not real.
2,000 bucks.
Jim, you know, you had the embarrassing story last week?
Oh, of the Anatomy of a Fall story?
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
So I have an immediate follow-up for you of myself with an embarrassing story.
Okay.
Ooh.
So last week, I came to your house. What I usually do is I drive from my place to Walgreens, I grab waters, and then I drive from Walgreens to your house. Walgreens is right around the corner from where we do the studio. Mm-hmm. I parked, and for some reason, my battery died. Now, I drive a hybrid, so there's like three batteries in the car. The car you think of as the battery in your car you think of as the battery that you jump is like buried in a Prius. So it's like, you can't just get jumped. Technically you can use your like engine to try and jump it, but that wasn't working for me. Mm. I had let my friend use my car, to take a driver's test.
Piece of shit.
And he had like left the lights on or
fucking
something like
idiot.
That. Mm. And, so it killed the battery. So
fucking
I was like, I was not stoked, but I was like, at the time I'm doing the show, I was like, oh, I'll
eradicate him.
I'll walk back to the car. And there's a chance, because all I need to do is get it started. If I can get it started, you're good. So I tried, just wasn't working. So I had my friend come pick me up and drop me off. Then I came back up to the Walgreens parking lot. She let me borrow her car so I could get stuff figured out. And I'm like, okay, I'll just swap the battery. So first thing in the morning, 7 a.m., I go get a battery. It cost me a shitload of money. It was very annoying. It was like $350 fucking dollars.
Yeah, that's the thing, because with the hybrids, they're not cheap. Yeah.
So I had to do that. Then I grabbed some tools, drove all the way up here. Got here, out of my tools. The only thing I don't have is the one fucking ratchet head that I needed for, because there's a 10 millimeter and a 12 millimeter, and I didn't have the 10. And I was like, come the fuck on. So I had to drive to the Home Depot and get a new ratchet set.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I didn't know this at the time. I thought just like, oh, yeah, I'll just open up my hood and swap out the battery. It's easy. But in a Prius, it's like in the trunk and it's buried under like three layers and behind a computer and behind like seven brackets. And I have to move the battery vent. Like, you have to move like everything in the world.
Mm.
So I'm like watching a video of a guy do it so that I make sure I don't fuck it up. And it takes so much time. Right? And it's also raining. It was raining all Saturday, so I'd have to like stop at points of time and just like get in the fucking car and just sit and wait for it to stop raining.
Wait to dry off.
it was so, and I was like so tired. It was cold and windy. I woke up at like 7 a.m. so I could get this going because I didn't want like the car to get cut, towed or broken into.
Yeah.
So after like, so I'm up at like 7 a.m. It is now, it's about 3:34, and I'm finally getting everything done. Yeah, it was a ton of hurry up and wait because it was mostly the rain that was delaying everything. But I finally get it swapped out, and I'm like, holy shit, this is great. So I'm attaching the battery, and the second I attach the battery, my car alarm starts going off. And I'm like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. It's like the bat power's coming back.
Yeah.
So I go up front, I push the button on my like fob, it's not working. I stick my fob in the little thing that recognizes it, it's not working. I turn the car on, I could drive the car and the alarm just keeps going. And I'm like, all right, what the fuck? So I disconnect really quick and I look online. There's this Prius forum I had been getting a lot of information from. So I'm like, let's see if they have any information. And a couple of people were like, yeah, if you have an aftermarket alarm, that's just going to happen. Because the voltage is all fucked up and the car is confused about whether someone was in the car and leaving in a way they weren't supposed to, or what order the locks, so shit like that.
Yeah.
So they're like, what you can do is you can pop open this thing in your engine and remove a bunch of fuses. And that was like, I don't mind trying to do some stuff, but that, like, the description and the complication level and stuff felt over my head.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, let me try a couple other things, and nothing worked. So I was basically like, I've been up for a really long time. I've been spending money. I'm like way more money than I want to. I'm so annoyed. I'm like, I guess I'm just going to like call a tow truck and get it taken to the place I usually get my car worked on and just have them rip out the alarm. Cause I don't need the alarm. It's an aftermarket alarm. I don't give a shit about it. And I had tried everything. I looked everywhere, looked for so many things, could not figure it out. So the tow truck driver shows up and he's like, oh, are you able to like get it neutral and stuff? So I explained it to him. I'm like, technically I can connect the battery. You'll hear my alarm go off. I can drive it. I can get it in a good spot, put it in neutral, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, if you want, I can take a look at the alarm. I don't mind. And I'm like, whatever, dude, I can't find anything. And he's like, okay. So go ahead and connect it, turn the alarm on. He opens my door. He looks under, sees the alarm, sees a giant fucking button that I somehow missed. An enormous button right next to a blinking red light. There is no reason I should have missed this. And he pushes it and goes, oh yeah, that turned it off. You're good now. And I'm like,
get him.
And I'm like, oh man, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, a lot of these aftermarket things, like batteries fuck up the thing. So they have like a manual battery.
Nice reset button.
I just assumed you had checked that. You kind of mentioned to me you're pretty thorough. I guess you guess you missed this. And I'm like, yeah. Now the upside is this man is a hero.
Oh yeah.
Because I would have had to pay $250 to get my car towed somewhere, to pay even more fucking money to get an alarm ripped out because my battery won't stop setting it off.
Did you toss him a Finsky or something?
Dude, I was so happy. I went to the ATM and I pulled out $100 and I just said, this is for you.
Wow.
This is
straight up for you. Rain on him.
Because in my head, I'm like, I have already spent $350 on a battery.
You saved $150.
Yeah, I was about to have to spend $250 on a tow and then whatever money it would have cost to have a car place rip my alarm out. So in the long run, he just saved me upwards of $400, $500, maybe even dollars. What is like treating this man like the fucking hero he is. So I gave him a $100 bill. And then at the second that was done, everything was immediately fixed and good to go afterwards. But I was like, how the fuck?
I would have gotten
I missed
ones,
this gigantic fucking button.
I would have gotten in ones and just thrown it in his face. So I'd be like, thank you so much.
There's 100 of these. Don't get mad.
I felt like a real ass because like he was also like one of those salt of the earth guys that like I was trying to level with him. And he was taking me seriously, and I was like, great. But the second he realized there was a gigantic button, push.
I don't even know why you're bothered looking at this. I already covered everything. Yeah. Turn off alarm button.
Yeah, it really was one of those. Like, hey, man, I really did. I was like, if you want to give it a shot, go for it. Because, like, I'm desperate. I've looked at damn near everything. Well, and then he's like, did you push the button?
The only thing that could have saved you right then is just like, my damn Wi-Fi's out. And you, like, pull the plug out. You're like, okay, here we go. I got you. This is my generation. You stupid old fuck.
You old motherfucker.
Wi-Fi works.
Car queer. Get out of here.
But yeah, so Jim, right after your story, I immediately had big egg on my face moron moment.
I've had similar situations with helping people with their computer where it's a simple ass thing, but I'm such a hero. Even though I'll see that it's a basic ass fix, I'll do all this like rigmarole to make it seem like there's something going on.
He did a lot of glad handing to make it seem like I wasn't stupid for missing that. He's like, hey man, if you didn't know to look and nothing online was telling you, why would you even try
I'm so stupid. You're sitting on the side of the road and you're like spit coming out of your mouth.
Fucking idiot. Dude, fucking idiot.
I just fucking came here and been here since the morning.
I really was just like, oh man, I am so fucking, I was like dunking on myself for sure.
Turns out you didn't even need a new battery. Yeah, you're like, what's going on with your battery, Mike?
Oh, fucking idiot. I'm a fucking idiot.
No, it's okay.
I'm a fucking idiot.
This thing's happening, you know, aftermarkets.
He's holding, I'm a fucking idiot.
He's holding my $100 bill, and this is me.
I'm a fucking idiot. Fucking idiot. Fucking idiot. Fucking
you
idiot.
You immediately take off, hit like a fire hydrant where it blows the water everywhere.
Like, yeah. I love the person that uploaded this title, and I'm an idiot, 101097.
Oh, he did something wrong.
I also wasn't sure if it was my fob, so I had to walk into the Walgreens, buy an eyeglass repair kit and the battery
get an
for the
old,
pop,
yeah, get a watch
and swap
battery
in the
for
new.
That,
the I saw right. There was like, it was just a billion steps to have a man show up and push a button. I was like, man, come on. I was like, I was doing a good job. I had basically done all the work. I like really like was feeling kind of proud of myself.
Sure and you did, buddy.
And then I missed the
you're
button
covered
next
in grease
to the,
all over you. You have like a overalls on.
I got like the smudge on my cheek for no reason.
Sliding out the electrical wires.
And it's just like, dude, it's right next to a blinking red light. Like if I would have just thought, like, maybe I should just look. I knew that thing was there, but nothing I had done had led. I even called the dealership.
Chinese piece of shit don't work. I don't know.
My dealership that did the aftermarket, a lot of people online said, call your dealership. They'll all do the exact same aftermarket for their brand, and they can tell you if there's a thing. And I called the guy, and he's like, yeah, no, I know the alarm you're talking about. We put them on Priuses. We've never run into this issue before. We don't know what to tell you, blah, blah, blah. So I really thought I had done the due diligence. And then this fucking salt of the earth guy showed up and cucked me out just on accident. And then I gave him $100.
Yeah, I feel really bad. This guy called about his alarm. I guess his big red button doesn't work. We never run into this. Everyone else hits the big red button and it's smooth sailing.
Yeah, the big obvious button's not working. I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know. I just feel bad. But
now I do have a brand new sick ratchet set. It's really nice.
Sweet.
I do have new batteries in my fob. It's crazy, crazy nice fob battery. I got a little
blinker
like
fluids all up to date.
Blinker fluids full all the way to the top.
Fill the gas tank with water. Just give it the old clean up.
Yeah, so I felt like a real asshole. And it sucked too because like that day was miserable. It was like it's the worst day. Like outside of getting fixed, it's like you hate when that happens. Mm. You hate when everything costs more than you want. And then you hate when like...
Yeah, you spend a bunch of money, waste a bunch of time.
Yeah. And so I was just like, I was thrilled when he left and it fixed it. I was so fucking happy. But man, I was not feeling great when he just pushed that button.
that Roma fucking hustled you for 100.
Again, he earned the fuck out of that. Like he saved me an extra 150 on top of the tow. And then potentially anywhere between $200 to $400 on whatever they would have charged labor.
Even if they just hit the button, they'd have a minimum they charge you, and they just fuck you in the
ass. Because all I would have said was, "Hey guys, here's what happens," and I'd have touched it, and they'd be like, "Oh yeah, okay, we'll have a guy look at it." And I would have walked
home. Your car.
They would have been laughing and giggling to each other too.
Well, because the second I left, I'd leave, and they'd eventually look at it and go, "Oh guys, he didn't push the button."
Yeah, he didn't push the button.
$470.
This fucking bitch.
Let's all have rough sex in his car again.
We're doing that in every car now, you guys. It's not even special anymore.
You love me. What are we?
Am I just a thing to you?
No, Big Lou.
A bunch of
little Mexican guy, old white guy with juggalo tattoos.
A bunch of gay car repair guys questioning whether someone loves them or not.
When we got into this polycule, we knew that we would have differences of opinions. But we all love each other just the same.
It used to be that we'd fuck as a bit.
I love you guys. Cars.
You won't even fuck me in the bed of a truck anymore.
I had the I had the Cox Cable guy come out this past week because the issues we were having with the upload.
Uh-huh.
And
what did he find a solution, or did he?
I end up getting a different modem, and it seems to be working now. Okay. I also, like, this wasn't the main thing, but there was something with my upload wasn't quite working. But I found that was some dumbass, which I'm surprised I never noticed this before, because usually my upload was fine. So I don't know what triggered this, but I have a MSI motherboard, and they have some dumbass program that I didn't even have installed. But like, they have some program suite, and one of the things is called, like, it's supposed to be some sort of gaming network monitor, but all it does is throttle your fucking connection.
Some bloatware that just throttles everything.
I had to weirdly install it so I could disable it. Because, like, I read on Reddit, like, some people were like, oh, if you have MSI, check for this. And I was like, huh, I don't have it. So I just installed it anyways. And when I installed it, I turned it off and it immediately started working.
But now you can also run Afterburner, Jim, and you can see how sick your frames are.
Yeah, yeah. But now I got dope, like, 130 meg up, so
damn,
fucks with me. But anyways, like, when I had the guy come out, I was thinking about it this time, how, like, in the past, I used to think it was kind of cool when, like, a guy had to come over to do, like, whether it be the internet or something, and he'd see that I have the studio set up. But now I'm, like, ashamed of it.
Oh, because every idiot in the world has a show?
Yeah, like, because it used to be, like, an interesting thing where people be like, oh, what's that? Well, you have, like, you do, like, a web show or something? Like, yeah, yeah, we do, like, an online radio show.
Oh, I have all this stuff. I do a fucking cable install.
Oh, your studio's, like, a worse version of mine.
Yeah, because now it's, like, now there is an understanding of, like, probably just thinks I'm some lame-ass Twitch
when you see the green walls
gamer homo.
Yeah, you're uploading World of Warcraft chilling.
Yeah, exactly. World of Warcraft chilling and kitties fighting
kitten
or whatever.
Fight.
So now I'm just like, ugh, I wish I could, like, pull a curtain and, like, hide it or something.
I mean, we
over.
Could install a curtain rod, Jim.
Yeah, put up a curtain and just keep the modem out there. Like, don't look behind the curtain, please. Don't look at my shame.
I know I made this elaborate curtain setup, and I'm asking you not to look behind, which is an impossible request, but I really need you to honor it.
That is, like, a perfect horror movie short. It's like, whatever you do, don't go in that room. That room, it's all locked up, and you open it up, and it's just Funko Pops. And
it's just a Twitch studio. Rings,
like, with a fart gun in it.
Yeah, just a green screen Twitch studio.
And
with
then you're just stuck Twitch streaming forever.
It's LED light on your walls.
Me and Jeff are in here just doing the fake, like, moan. He pops his head in.
Oh, yes, this guy, he's gay. We're all gay in here.
What was I gonna say? But yeah, well, it's just because, yeah, it's just such a, there's now such a like, attached idea behind it that it's not fun. It's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just telling him, like, don't worry. I'm threatening to cancel. I'm threatening to stop the show.
The afraid I'm about to leave.
I have all this shit. Don't worry. I'm always telling him I'm going to stop.
I've had a couple moments like that because I have, they're not anime figures, but they're like, they're those figures, the Marvel, there's like Marvel Bishujo, I think is what they called it, where it was like famous anime artists would do versions of Marvel and DC characters, and they made those really nice Kobudakaya statues. And they're really nice. Like, they're super nice. But, like, the older I get, the less cool I feel with the idea of, like my room has, like, I went for the whole, like, I've never had a cool, like, kid in a TV show who lives in the attic and his walls are covered in shit room.
Yeah.
I want a room that looks like that. And I did that, and I like that. But then I also was like, oh, I like these fucking figures. These are cool. And they're really nice figures. I have some of the Star Wars ones too. But then, like, nowadays, like, the way that, even though anime is more mainstream, someone would just look at those and think they were anime figures.
Mm.
And that kind of makes me, like, feel weird. Like, they're going to go in my room and, like, just go, like, oh, a bunch of fucking anime figures.
Those are Marvel figures.
I'm like, actually, they're Kotobukiya Marvel Bishujo figures.
Who would think those are anime figures?
Excuse me.
Now use Cansley.
That's clearly.
You have a katana.
That's clearly Shadow Cat, the Invisible Woman, Rogue, Mara Jade, and Solo's daughter from the original version of the Star Wars Expanded Universe.
Oh, I thought this was Goku. Goku rules.
And it's just like, I don't want to get rid of them because they're all nice and I like them, but the only thing in my room that I'm even the tiniest bit insecure about is those.
I can see it.
Just not loving them.
Yeah, because people think you're just a weird pervert now.
Yeah, they think I'm a big... Like, I'm less... Like, I have this giant, like... you know Disney Anna, that store?
Yes. Yeah. I love Disney Anna.
Yeah, how they have those nice-ass, like I don't know what they are, other than statues. Like, in there, I have, like, a kick-ass Ariel. I think I've even probably sent you a picture. And it's, like, her on, like, a rock, and she's sort of, like, swimming up, and, like, you can turn on LEDs and lights. It's, like, really fucking big. That thing's dope. But it doesn't look like anime, so I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not bothered by it. I've got like a Rapunzel of that as well. She's wearing this fucking awesome dress. The hair's all like elaborate. Doesn't look like anime, so it doesn't bother me. But then I got these other things like, oh yeah, cool. Like I'm really embarrassed of these Star Wars ones because they look like anime characters, and these Marvel ones because they look like anime characters.
Oh yeah, this guy came over to clean my carpets, and it's like, oh, just ignore the Rat King over there. Yeah, it's just a bunch of rats. Their tails get caught together, and then they kind of move as one.
Yeah, you get embarrassed about... As a young man, a Rat King's not embarrassing.
Yeah. It's not anime. This isn't fucking Dust Mites from fucking Totoro.
Ignore my jar full of cum. That's just a jar full of cum I've been coming
That's
in for
years.
That's
where I put my cum. That's where you go.
Oh, you get it. Wait, yeah. Son of Billy Wagner. I think that's Scarecrow in the YouTube chat. What up,
what?
Dude? He's saying the older I get, the less I give a shit about what's in my room. I don't even want a room at this point.
that's the beauty is that I don't care about a lot of stuff anymore. Like I have become.
Yeah, it is Scarecrow. Shout out to Scarecrow.
Oh fuck yeah, Scarecrow. I'm the least insecure I've been in my entire life.
Yeah,
like I really like. Stuff just does not bother me anymore. I don't care what teenagers think. I don't care what's on my shirt. I don't care if I have like forgot to lint roll my shirt and there's cat hair on it. So, like, I just don't give a shit about like things I used to like.
You've let yourself go.
Try. Well, not. Yeah. I mean, sometimes.
He's given up.
Sometimes.
Yeah. It's not ego death. It's pride death.
Sometimes it is manifesting. Is that for sure? But other times just like, oh, I would have been embarrassed to wear this thing I like because. What if someone says that?
Sure, yeah.
I would
I
have been
that.
Embarrassed to really love this
you
thing.
You care less and less about that.
I just don't give a shit about that anymore. But
now you just walk around throwing hundreds at tow truck drivers. Like, I don't give a fuck, dude.
But
I'm rich.
Something about
I'm
the,
so paid, though.
Something about the anime figures. It's just like, ah, oh, man. Ah, man.
Yeah.
You have Sailor Moon tattooed on you, though.
I know.
Are you going to get Thanos over that shit?
But the thing is, like, the tattoos, like, they don't bother me. It's just the anime figures. They just, there's, they feel like there's baggage along with them. And again,
you spilled yogurt all over them. You're like, fuck.
The thing is, they're not anime figures. They look like
anime
figures.
They just look
like
anime.
And that's the thing that bothers me is that, like, normally those are the type of things I'm not worried about anymore. But for some reason, the
you're
fact
like,
that they look like them, that bothers me.
It's like when you're a little kid and someone calls your action figures dolls.
Yes.
And you're like, these are not dolls. Not
there's
anime.
A difference. There's a meaningful difference. Right.
It's Japanese animation artists making Marvel characters.
It matters. It's a difference that should matter to you, too.
Yeah. And I mean, because that's the same thing I'm saying about like having the studio room. It's like... I mean, I don't really give a shit, but also I just realized like, oh, I think that's less of thinking. It now, though. Like, I don't... Like, I think less of it, like, because obviously I'm not going to sit and explain, like, oh, I don't play video games online, though.
Yeah.
I just talk to a meager audience.
Oh, my meager audience watches me and my friends make cum jokes.
We defend Dan Schneider, don't worry. Yeah.
We're always friends with the villain.
We got some sounders for you.
we said the N-word behind a paywall.
Stax, how come there isn't a studio cam anymore? What do you mean? You mean like how we used to have like a wide camera, like the wide shot,
like the actual studio
that was replaced by the singer?
Yeah.
Ideally, we probably would have always wanted that. Like, we also like kind of had like I don't know if you remember back in the day, we'd have to like swerve around and look at Jim's screen to watch videos and stuff too. But now we all have our own monitors, and it's just kind of like studio upgrades, I guess.
Yeah, because that was more like, I mean, it was fine for the time because it was just an easier way to do it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's more of a disconnect of a view, of your viewing, I suppose, because it was just the back of my head. You wouldn't see me at all. You could kind of see my screen.
Yeah.
And then you could kind of see everyone else like further away. I mean, it's not a bad idea. Ideally, I would, if I had the space, I would have liked to have it more where... Like, obviously, in the
camera switches and stuff.
Well, camera switches, or like in the shot now, because of the green screen, we're able to all be in the shot facing forward. Ideally, I would have liked if we had a table where we could kind of just sit like that and have a wide shot.
Right.
It's just easier. We have multiple cameras and we can blend them this way.
Well, and we can all kind of look at each other. Like, I know that, like, it's not perfect, but
yeah,
like, it's,
I have to like, I have to look over to try to see Jeff.
But it's still technically better than if we all were like craning our necks left and right to each other.
Sure.
Yeah. Or like, I'm talking to Jim, but I'm looking straight forward because it's weird not to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I would like to have like a wider shot with a nicer camera if I could. It's just we don't really have the space for like the layout because we would still need like, I would need access to the computer and like screens for everyone and stuff like that. It's just like, it's a whole rigmarole. I'm always trying to think of ways. I am trying to think of ways to do it without a green screen, honestly. It's just kind of spacing and geography of like where we would be and still be able to like do everything we do.
But then we'd lose Bupak. Inside.
Yeah, we might lose Bupak, but we could still add him somewhere. We could still, yeah, we can
get it on the wall.
We can get him painted on the wall.
You know what we could probably do? We could I bet you there's places that make custom like cardboard cutouts, and we could try and find a full length, like a him standing like on his Facebook, and then take that and just blow it up, even if it's super pixelated and blurry and bad, and make a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, I went into like the. Like the FedEx shipping thing, and they, or actually, no, the UPS store, they have like one of their employees as like a standee.
Yeah. They'll probably tell you, like, hey, this is really low res, it's gonna look bad, but we'd be like, oh, that's even better.
We could do that. We could just put the standees up where we're sitting now, lay on the floor, and do the voices on
Hell
the ground.
Yeah.
We're just lay down there, and our standees are up there.
Dude, we could tell AI. Do a show, and then we don't even have to show up.
Yeah.
We just upload it when it's done.
Yeah.
Or have an automation upload it.
Yeah. I mean, I do have one of those 360 cameras. I have thought of if I could put that just in the middle.
Oh, I just put it like right here.
Yeah, just put it in the middle, and you could just kind of view the whole studio as we're streaming. But
I think that would take magic away, because the one of the fun things I think that listeners have told us is when they come here, they're like, based on the view I see when I watch you, I never in a million years pictured the studio to look like it looks.
True.
Surprise, bitch. Tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Fucking
the technically, plot. The best look anyone's...
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah. The best look anyone's ever gotten is the end of the Jim and Them finale special when you're typing your, like...
Or a little bit during the streamathon.
Oh.
Because we had one shot, like we had, I forget why... We were filming something, but maybe part of it is because when you were getting ready to go run or something.
Oh, you like film.
But I remember, yeah, there's a clip of like, you can kind of see the studio a little bit.
But yeah, I know that listeners have said they're always shocked by how we're sitting and how things look and what the layout looks like, because it's just so like not what they're seeing when they watch the show.
Because they're fools. you think we are sitting at a desk like a fucking judge, Judy, and executioner? Yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, what do you think you're doing? Jerking each other off like a bunch of car mechanics? In the back of my Prius?
A bunch of car mechanics that love each other?
Jeff, you watched the new Roadhouse. Roadhouse.
Oh, man.
I assumed we were going to watch it for a commentary.
Maybe. I mean, I'm going to watch it initially either way.
But that's why I chose not to, because I know we watched the original Roadhouse. So I was like, oh, we'll probably watch the new one.
But apparently, people think that Conor McGregor was tweaking during this interview.
What?
Promoting the new film that just came out today on, is it Amazon Prime?
Oh, what, he says one word wrong or something?
I think, I saw a quick clip. No, he just keeps fidgeting the whole time.
No, yeah, he's twacked out.
Is that what you do when you're either going through withdrawls or when you're geeked out?
He's just like on a bunch of coke.
Is that what it is?
And he's probably never stopped doing coke for like 8 years.
But if he's on a bunch of drugs, then why is Jake Gyllenhaal look so happy?
Yeah, exactly. Jake Gyllenhaal is like underrated in
he's the best.
press interviews. There's that classic Strange World clip where he's like, you could say we're all in a strange world right now. No one reacts.
And he's just like, yeah.
No. You not see it? Let me find it.
Oh, dude, you're going to love this. There's so many good.
It's such a weird movie. You got to see it. I was
I'm laughing excited
the whole
to
time.
Watch it.
During Spider-Man Far From Home, I think is what the one. No Way Home.
I always mix those up now, too. What is Far From Home.
Yeah, Far From Home. Yeah. There were so many good things of, like, him like short. doing promotion. There's like an infinite amount of good clips.
Now this world.
Oh, I got music. I always want to.
So you good. And Jake obviously played father and son in The Day After Tomorrow.
That's not it. I should just look for it on Twitter.
It's so funny, Jeff. You're gonna love it, even with us like hyping it up.
I can't believe you know how to spell Gyllenhaal at this point.
I think because I had to type it earlier, so I just remember.
Two A's out of nowhere.
God damn. Why is it not fucking...
Damn it. Maybe just Google it?
Maybe I'll just have to play the one with the music playing in the background. I was just trying to find the regular short clip that people usually share.
Oh, here we go.
This must be it.
This world we live in today is a pretty strange world, too.
There is like a little longer clip of it, but yeah, you get the idea. Just no one reacts at
breathing
all.
And he's like nodding and laughing.
He's way funny. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. He's just sort of mumbling and smiling the whole movie. It's weird.
I feel like, well, I mean, I guess I'll have to see it to judge for myself, but I mean, I feel like they have an understanding. If they're doing weird shit in that movie, they know they're doing weird shit.
You just got to see it. It's not weird for the reasons you think it's going to be.
You know, another place where Jake Gyllenhaal is good.
Where?
Hot Ones. He's got a really...
I thought you were going to say Prince of Persia, because you're a Prince of Persia fan.
No, he is great in Prince of Persia, outside of like the whitewashing of Hollywood. but no, he has a great Hot Ones. His Hot Ones is one of my favorites.
I landed one punch
once,
and he hit me with a door. I landed one punch
once,
and he hit me with a door. Other than that, it was absolutely perfect.
That's true.
But amazing.
I feel good.
I'm Lundberg here with Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, stars of the new Roadhouse, which is coming to you on Prime Video. What was it like, Jake, working with Conor? I mean, you have played a combat sports athlete before in Southpaw, but this is a whole different game. What was that like for you?
It was great fun. I mean, he was, from the very beginning, Conor said to me, he was like, I'm a white belt and making movies and acting.
I guess
acting,
he's not really fidgeting
and
or tweaking out too much yet.
I don't even see anything remarkable yet.
I'm, you know, a white belt in the fight game, and in terms of fights and what they look like and how authentic it is, I know it was so important to you from the very beginning that the fight fans always felt like they were watching something original, something fun, and so he was always coaching me and showing me how to do things or change
there
things.
There you are, yeah, starting up a little
authentic
bit.
So
there,
that,
yeah, he's
so that all
I mean,
the fight fans.
It does feel like he's fighting it, maybe.
Are they just like fighter's tremors? Isn't that a thing?
Do you get punch drunk and you get all fucked up like
that? I know that people that have been fighting for a long time, you sometimes just get tremors.
To make it feel more authentic so that all the fight fans in particular, but movie fans in the end too, we'll love this movie even more because of the stuff that we did.
Conor, what did Jake bring to the table from the realism when he came to the fight game?
Jake's a consummate professional. 75 movies made. You know, I'm blessed to have entered into the movie.
Whoa, wait. Did the video skip or is that... did he really just
maybe
like...
It's just bashful
being
around.
Did he switch, like fucking flip on and off for a second?
Yeah, I think someone turned his chip off for just a quick second. I think even Gyllenhaal noticed that. They're like, hey, what are you doing, buddy?
You know, I'm blessed to have entered into the movie alongside him.
Well, and
he
real
was patient
quick,
with me.
We should probably tell our fans they're not actually in the Roadhouse.
They're not really in the Roadhouse. If you went into that studio, you'd be amazed.
Yeah, they're facing each other with webcams on screen monitors.
He gave me guidance, and I just took it. You know, we had a good rapport on set. He has 75 movies made.
He's so nonchalant.
I have 75.
See, that's the thing that makes it feel like it's not drugs, because his body is doing weird things, but he's not acting weird. And
so his body's having involuntary spasms.
Well, sure. I know when we see a lot of weird tweakers, like they're like it's not just their body acting autonomously. It's like they are acting weird, and it almost feels like if he didn't know any better, he wouldn't know any of this was happening.
I don't know. He's not like a notorious cokehead kind
of. Oh, is he?
Yeah, look at his shirt. Right. It says it.
Does it?
Notorious.
Oh, it says Notorious.
I was just say cokehead at the bottom. We just can't see it.
Out. Yeah.
Well, I like that because there's some tweet about showing a clip from this, and it was talking about how he's either fucked up or coming down. And then someone quoted it, and they were dead serious. They're like, all right, this is not funny anymore. Like, all of a sudden, we have to take it serious. It's like, no, this is actually when it's really funny. Who are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
This is super funny.
He'll be fine.
A good rapport on set. He has 75 movies made.
He's on steroids and doing coke. I have 75 bar fights made.
And that's it. We had a good back and forth.
Jake, you have to take some real punches and kicks in the lead up to this?
Yeah, and throughout it too. Yeah, it's inevitable, I think, when you're trying to do fights.
McGregor's
like
real reckless with
this.
Well, I did hear a story he was telling where he's like, yeah, McGregor was showing me. He's like, oh no, you're like your hand, it's off to the side. It needs to be straight. It needs to be straight like this. And he was just kind of doing like fake like the motion, and then he just like socked Jake in the face on accident.
Sorry, I'm all yacked up on gear. I would miss you.
You know, but. Yeah, I mean, also it's important to know what it feels like. In the spar, I did that particularly in preparation for Southpaw. There was a lot of sparring and understanding the feeling. You can't play a fighter unless you know what that's like.
Maybe he's just got some dipping.
We stayed as careful as we could the whole time, and he was always he was good to me, and I sometimes had to remind him.
Like, I landed one punch.
Once.
And he hit me with a door. Other than that, was absolutely perfect.
That's true.
An amazing stunt.
It is interesting that he only does the body spasms when he has to talk.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's nodding his head most of the time, but once he has to talk, his shoulders start just
it almost
coming to with every syllable.
Like, he's acting like someone who had a stroke recently more than he's acting like someone who's on drugs. Like, he's undeniably at being weird, but like, it feels like a post-stroke guy, not a on drugs guy.
Gyllenhaal fucked him. They were doing coke all night, and then right before the interview, it's like, okay, let's just do one more. It's like, oh, just enough for me, I guess. You're good, right? We'll get more after.
Yeah. I love fighting you.
Me and Gareth Warden and Steve Brown, and they were phenomenal with us. They gave us free rein, and we've done a good job.
Hard for you, Connor, at all? Because you've been in so many real fights to realize, yeah, I'm trying to make this look real, but, you know, I am...
Connor, what the fuck's wrong with you?
What was hard was, it was time-consuming. 18 hours on set, very little rest. It was strange to me, but...
Maybe it's dumbbells.
You know, the fight
scene... his shoulders in.
Yeah, he's just doing
shrugs. I was happy
to
give my input and my oar. And Jake, as I said, is a consummate professional.
Do you think this guy's on drugs?
Check it out for yourself. Roadhouse.
I don't know, man. Again, it's undeniably weird what he's doing, but it doesn't strike me as a guy on drugs.
He looks a little sleepy.
I know I'm not like a pro expert or whatever, but on this show, I feel like we've watched a lot of weirdos on drugs, and this isn't what they act like.
I mean, there's just something up. Yeah, I guess it could go either way. Something's up with this fucking guy. Keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Keep tabs on this guy. What's he up to?
Let's watch Jake Gyllenhaal's Hot Ones right now.
Does he talk about Taylor Swift at all?
Nah.
I can't remember when Taylor Swift tried to fucking throw him under the bus as the best guy.
That's when I chose to never forgive her.
Yeah, and he made that song Megalo Bitch.
Yeah, I was
I love you, Megalo Bitch.
I was on her side until she went after our boy Jake G.
Yeah. Son of Billy Wagner. Yeah, they should have put Roadhouse in theaters. Now it'll take forever to me to watch it because I can watch whenever I want. I do the same shit.
That pissed off Jake.
No,
remember
no,
when
fun.
He was like, him and the director were super pissed off because it was supposed to?
Yeah, because they said it was supposed to be in theaters.
Ooh, this would have probably tanked.
I guess, what's the runtime on it, Jeff?
Two hours.
That's the thing.
Dude, but it's like baffling. You're going to love it.
Well, because most of the time, like when I do have movies, I have movies ready to go that I want to watch. But usually when I sit down and then I look at it, I always look at the runtime.
Yeah.
And then when I see 2 hours, I'm like, nah, maybe some other time.
This was,
maybe later.
I put it on and I was like kind of doing stuff, but still watching. But like I paused it for 20 minutes at one point, came back, you know. You got to just see it through. It's really fun. Yeah. Every scene.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this, so I'll probably still. I'm gonna.
I probably would have watched it already if I didn't think we were doing it for a commentary.
Nothing that the movie's trying to achieve. I don't want to give it credit when I say it's fun. They're not none of the fun it's trying to achieve.
I don't know.
I
think they know it. You don't make a Roadhouse remake without knowing you're making something kind of goofy.
Yeah, but it's not goofy in a self-aware way at all. It's like old writer making a new movie. Kind
Who
of
wrote
that.
It?
The same guy.
But also, like,
what?
I would...
Really?
Was it the same
the
guy?
The writer of the original Roadhouse?
I think he did the screenplay and directed this one, too.
No, because it was... What's his name directed it?
Our boy who never gets a break.
Well, he did the screenplay then. I don't know.
Yeah, because Doug Liman,
Doug Liman
directed it.
I don't know. That's what I heard. See. He did the screenplay.
Anthony Bagarozzi.
A bag of Rosie.
It's
the writer of The Nice Guys.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, Nice Guys rules.
Doesn't everyone love The Nice Guys?
Nice Guys is great. This is
I thought
and everyone loves the dialogue.
Shane Black wrote Nice Guys.
I think didn't Shane Black direct it?
Oh, I just assumed he wrote it too.
Don't believe me, watch the movie.
Shane Black and Anthony Bagarozzi.
Okay.
They both wrote
every
the Nice
possible
Guys.
Trope happens and it weirdly is like
but see,
things.
But that's why I think they know what they're doing, honestly. I really think like if we went in to make a Roadhouse sequel, like I wouldn't want to make it like a Sharknado goofy thing. I'd be like, no, let's make it like a classic fucking
action.
Well, that's what, but it has to be stupid too. Like let's make a stupid, dumb action movie.
It's stupid, but like not the ways it's like not in a tongue in cheek way.
I mean, again, I'll have to see it, but I'm thinking they know what they're doing.
Okay.
I'm saying I haven't seen it. I'm just saying that's what I'm guessing. I haven't seen it, though, so I can't say for sure until I watched it.
I gave it 5 stars. I loved it, but it's, like, way bad.
Remember this moment when you're dunking on our reviews on Letterboxd, Jeff?
Yeah, you've never given a 5 in your life. You gave Dumb and Dumber, like, a 3.5 or something.
I gave Dumb and Dumber a 4.
That's crazy. That's a 5.
A 4 isn't bad.
A 4 is bullshit.
No, but I'm saying a 4 is like a good movie.
4.5
A 4 is
five.
Like a there are classic movies that get 4 stars.
Yeah, when you review them.
You
gotta have real standards.
My 5 means something. I don't give 5 to
Dumb and Dumber
I
is a 5.
You don't
think bad. You don't think Dumb and Dumber is worthy of a 5?
I almost gave it a 4.5. But I mean,
you have problems with the script.
I think it's a really good movie. Mm. I think it's like a, I think it's a classic movie for a reason, but I don't think it's a 5.
I think 4, 4.5 is very good score for a film.
Yeah. Especially
Dumb
a comedy.
Dumber's gonna be 5.
I think that's the other thing. A classic comedy, it could be one of the best comedies ever, but that doesn't even mean it's going to be a 5. It's still a comedy.
Wow.
I mean,
can't believe this.
What, like Eternal Sunshine's a 5? Maybe I wouldn't give Dumb and Dumber a 5.
Yeah, they're both 5s.
But also, like, you're saying to you, you'd give it a 5. I'm simply giving it 1 less star. It's not like I gave it a 2. And you think it's a 5.
Sit right with me.
Actually, I gave Eternal Sunshine 4.5.
Even if you gave Dumb and Dumber a 4.5, I'd be less enraged. I would see the last.
I don't know if I'd give it a 5, but I haven't watched it in a long time. I'd have to watch it first.
I watched it. I thought it was really funny. I remember we had been talking about it, and I was like, oh, shit, I need to rewatch that movie. And then when I watched Ricky Sinicky and found out it was a Farrelly Brothers movie, I was like, oh, fuck, I just rewatch Dumb and Dumber. I keep telling myself I'm going to. And I thought it was fantastic. It's a fantastic movie, but the fantastic movie can be 4 stars.
Yeah, I think an amazing movie's 4 stars.
Yeah. I don't think it's perfect.
I think it's perfect.
I don't know. I'm saying this just off the top of my head.
I think a 4-star movie deeply touched me.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if there's a comedy I've ever seen that I would give 5 stars. I'd have to go back and look at some of my favorite comedies, but I would be shocked if I've ever seen a comedy that I think is a 5-star movie.
To me, Shaun of the Dead's a 5-star movie. That's a comedy.
Okay, you know what? Okay, I guess you're right. That is a comedy, but that's almost that's a modern genre comedy.
Also, yeah. I was gonna say it is like it's a comedy fusion, if you will.
It's more than
Asian
that.
Fusion,
it's like
Bollywood,
gastropub,
Korean tacos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think modern genre comedies are like. I'm not saying this to split hairs. I'm saying like. They're better than old comedies because old comedies were just straight comedies and modern comedies.
It's very hard to do.
They can
I wouldn't
be
say
more
it's better than Dumb and Dumber.
They can be more than that. I think Shaun of the Dead is better than Dumb and Dumber.
It's a different movie.
I like Shaun of the Dead more than Dumb and Dumber.
But I also think that
I love Dumb
it's because it's more than just a comedy. I think that would be what would be holding it back from 5 is that it's a. I'd have to look back, but I bet you I've never seen a comedy. It's like a core comedy movie.
I like Dumb and Dumber more than Hot Fuzz and The World's End.
What about like Billy Madison? That's not a 5.
I'm not Billy a Sandler. I'm not a Sandler.
Billy Madison
guy.
Could be. I'd have to rewatch. Yeah, I'd have to rewatch both of them.
Tommy
to say
Boy.
For sure.
Dirty Work would be right off the top of my head. That and maybe
Wet Hot American Summer.
That's a 4 to me, probably. 3.5 or 4. I would say
which one?
Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah, it's like a 4, yeah. I'd say.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something. Yeah, Dirty Work is Wayne's World is up in the fours for sure. Okay. But I think Dirty Work is probably, without like just pouring over things, the first thing I can think of that might be a five. That's really? A comedy. If it's not a five, it's a strong 4.5.
I would think you would like Dumb and Dumber more than Dirty Work.
Oh, I love Dirty Work. Again, some of that might just have to do with like growing up and watching it a lot.
And everyone's sucking sand. Who's on the line?
Yo, it's Pete Gass. What it do?
Yo, what up, Pete?
What up, man?
Yo, just want to contribute towards the comedy conversation. Definitely Leslie Nielsen movies, Naked Gun, and what's the other one?
Airplane.
Okay. And some Adam Sandler 90s movies. But it's tough to really pull off a five-star comedy movie.
It's tough because,
this is like hipster.
I might have to go Dumb and Dumber over Billy Madison, though, even though I love Billy Madison.
Really?
But I guess I'd have to rewatch both of those to say for sure.
Yeah, I'd also, I know maybe it's just because it's a Farrelly movie, but I'd also want to watch Something About Mary because I remember that being very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do remember always liking Dumb and Dumber more, but I don't know if that's just because I'm a kid, so it's an easier movie to watch.
Mm. Ace Ventura.
The five. Leslie Nielsen movies I always liked, but they never stuck with me. Like, I never rewatched. Like, I remember watching the Naked Gun movies when I was young, but it wasn't one of those movies where as I got older, I'd rewatch. So, I mean, I'm sure if I watched them now, I'd really like them. I don't think I've ever actually seen Airplane from beginning to end. Really? I've definitely seen enough of it. Yeah.
I watched a Red Letter Media review of, I think it was, Hot Shots? No, it was one.
Hot Shots Part 2. I used to love Hot Shots.
I don't think it was Hot Shots. It was something. It was something that I hadn't heard of, but it was one of those guys' movies, and it was full of hilarious things. I'm like, shit, maybe I should.
Was it Mafia?
I don't know.
Or Top Secret.
Top Secret. Yes.
Top Secret's great.
And I was like, everything they were showing, the clips, all of them were hilarious. So I'm like, wow, maybe. And I know you've told me that you think I would like Naked Gun and Airplane. So I'm like, maybe I should
never
fucking
watch.
I've never
Gun.
Seen them.
You would really like Naked
Yeah,
Gun.
I'm like, I think I should watch.
First I've seen it.
I think I should watch
it. It does,
some.
Like Jim said, it's not like, it's kind of you see it once and then, yeah. Like, that was so funny. But
all the clips from Top Secret, I was like, this looks funny. Yeah, I'm going to watch them. I've been actually,
we'll
now
just
that
start
I.
With Dead and Loving It.
Now that I use my Letterboxd a lot, I've been wanting to, like, this is something that Jim and Jeff know about, my boo-pilled trip. Now that I'm boo-pilled, actually been going back and like, because I loved Barbarian so much, I've been trying to watch more stuff. I watched Drag Me to Hell and really liked it. I have like a list of things that I'm trying to get through that aren't just like the jump scare style horror movies, just like the things that I would have never watched because I didn't love Barbarian yet. Now that I love Barbarian, I got to watch all sorts of other stuff.
Serbian film.
Barbarian's one of my favorite movies in a long time. Take care, guys. Have a great night.
Bye. Thanks, Pete. Brother. Rooney in the YouTube chat. Cable Guy. I mean, Cable Guy is a he's saying it's not really comedy. I mean, it's a dark comedy.
It's a dark comedy. Yeah.
That's up there as well. That's another one I got to rewatch. That's a great movie. Yeah.
And, I mean, as a kid, and maybe I'd have to re-see it, Ace Ventura, both movies, I would give a five easy.
Weirdly enough for me, like, for whatever reason, I didn't like it, the first Ace Ventura, or if what, I just didn't watch it or something.
I don't like the first one.
But then
one.
I loved the second one. I don't know what it was.
The first one's great, though, if you watch it now.
I feel like after I really loved the second, then I went back and
I did
the
watch
first
the second one.
One
all the time.
I watched the second one constantly.
You must be the Monopoly guy.
Yeah, and he's swinging him around on his
dude, me and kids in the playground will always be like,
yes, yeah. When he's got the spears in his legs.
He's in the truck bumping around, and it's just a normal note.
Him coming out of the rhino's ass? Dude, that's fucking classic. Yeah,
fucking darts is too much.
I still think that Ace Ventura would probably be 4 or under for me, though.
What? Yeah.
Again, I'm just guessing. I'm not, like, choosing it right now. I'm saying I can't imagine that either of them would be a 5 for me.
I feel like as a grown-ass man, I would probably be more about Dumb and Dumber.
You'd probably sit your white ass down and watch Dumb and Dumber.
I'd sit my white ass down and be loving with Dumb and Dumber. I'd still be loving Ace Ventura, but
Billy
I'd be
Madison,
loving
once it
more.
Starts going, has so many funny jokes. Yeah. Like the evil guy and the teachers, and every time Norm MacDonald and Chris Farley shows up.
Oh, yeah.
It's so kind of slow at the beginning because it's him being like, woo-ha, he-da, woo-hoo. You're like, did I remember this
that's
wrong
why
and
I
it
didn't,
sucks?
That's why I've never liked Sandler. I didn't
so
like that
funny
stuff.
Past that part.
Dude, Billy Madison's so funny. Well, even when he's doing the voices, it's funny though because it's before that became such a like annoying thing.
Well, that's why I say I'm not trying to dunk on him, but I asked Jake, even when we were kids, that was the shit I was like, no, thank you. I just
Shampoo is better. I cleaned the hair. Conditioner is better.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Or was it Billy Madison? And what's the golf one?
Happy Gilmore, which apparently they're making a sequel to, or they're developing a script right now.
Shooter McGavin is just running his mouth.
Shooter McGavin's the guy that said it.
Really?
He claimed that him and Sandler were talking about it.
Is he always running his mouth?
But also,
you
it's
have
like
a lot of it's, disdain.
It's totally something Sandler would do, though.
Yeah.
Even though I am still a big fan of Sandler, even though he puts out a lot of garbage.
I'd have to like look up a list of like the classic comedies because I just. Because I feel like my relationship with comedy has always been
Young
like
Frankenstein.
I like specific things that really like I'm sure I don't know if you guys realize this, but it's like one of the things that surprises people that like Pootie Tang is like fucking awesome.
It's so funny.
It's so, funny. Good. People don't realize that like Louis C.K. when he was at his funniest wrote Pootie Tang, and it like it was when he was like kind of an absurdist comedian. So like the whole like my dad died in a factory and a gorilla runs in and beats him up. Like shit like that. Like I loved that shit. It was like,
yeah, you would love Naked Gun. It's all that.
I love that shit. So like to me, like I loved Dirty Work. Cause I just love Norm. Norm is so funny. Even as a kid, I knew Norm was funny, but Dirty Work was extra funny. But like, that was something where I was like, I really, really liked that movie. We were talking about the other one, the Lewis and Clark movie with Matthew Perry and Chris Farley. I think that movie's fucking hilarious, but these are these movies that just like me and Jake watched a lot because we thought they were super funny.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's like nostalgia.
Exactly, because it's like you know, who would imagine that all the greatest comedies came out when I was in my later teens and early 20s?
I watched all these movies for Astropiece not long ago, and they're all way
because again, I watched Dumb and Dumber. I was like texting you guys about it. I thought it was hilarious.
It's so fun.
I just,
even though at this point it's not that recent anymore, but like, you know, in comparison, like Superbad and Tropic Thunder, those are movies I haven't watched a ton, but I remember when I first watched them, they were fucking hilarious.
I'd say a 40-year-old virgin would be mine of those, like of that ilk of movies.
Like Tropic Thunder is one I've been meaning to revisit quite a bit because there's so much classic shit in it.
Yeah. So and, I don't want to like dunk too hard on comedy because I know I actually do dunk on it a lot on the show. I just, for me, I think that the list of fives would be pretty low in comedy, but I've also proven that like
shows.
I try not to go crazy with my fives. I want my fives
Eastbound and Down or something.
If I give something a five, I want to know that I'm really mean that. I'm not like purposefully not giving things five, but I am like in my head a five really means something, and so I'm not just gonna like.
No, you got to be
really manic. like the things
the highs
that I
are
love.
Highs, the lows are lows. It's ones and fives only. That's my system.
Well, I know that's your system. Yeah. Well, so you love ironic scores, and I don't give anything an ironic score.
Well, I gave it's not really ironic, but Late Night with the Devil. It's a 3-star movie to me, but I gave it 4 stars. But I only did that because there's all this controversy right now where
like AI art, right?
Yeah, they use 3 pieces of AI art in the movie. And people are like so aghast about it. People online are like being so dramatic that they're even on Letterboxd review bombing it. Like I'm reading reviews where people are like, you know, I enjoyed this movie, but then I found out it had AI art, so I gave it 1 star. And for good measure for me, what I do is I click on their profile and I block those people. They'll never know or whatever, but I don't ever want to stumble upon one of their reviews in my feed.
That's funny.
But I put it in my review. I put an asterisk. I was like, look, this. I'm giving it 4 stars because people are being cunts for no reason. Like, I understand the idea. Like, I get we're against AI art, and I understand why we would be. But at a certain point, you kind of have to accept that that's where technology is going. And things, there are definitely going to be a lot of things that use it in a bad way. But there's probably going to be some things where they'll use it in different ways and it'll be fine.
I think that's my problem with it is like you said, I understand all of the slippery slope and stuff. But the problem is people are saying all or nothing. And my problem is that the people making these things are training them in ways that are like slimy. And it's like, if you simply said like, oh yeah, you can put your art in this thing and we'll pay you. And then we're saying that your art's allowed to train our thing. Or if we licensed art to train it, but like, it's these fucking AI, like corporate fucks you see doing the interviews and they're like, but if we don't train it on art, we'll go out of business. And it's like, yeah, get fucked. Like, who cares? Yeah. Like find a way to do it the right way. Don't just like, oh, boo-hoo, someone wants me to do things the right way. So that's the shit that bothers me. But like, there's tons of ways to use it where you're not like, it's not a problem. I don't see it as an all or nothing thing.
Well, because also it's like, I mean, this is like making an excuse, but the movie was made like a year, 2 years ago. It was kind of before people had, like before the strike, and it was this big thing that everyone was arguing over. It was just like a fun thing, like, oh, we're typing in prompts. Yeah,
remember
and
when it first
stuff.
Came out and everyone was like having fun with it and sharing stuff? And like, I'm not saying that was better. I'm just saying like, keep in mind that like the approach we're at now was not the approach the whole time. You ended up liking that? I've heard
it's good. I've heard
cult movie style mixed reviews about
it. I think I realized too, because I was actually even talking to Scarecrow about this after, because he was saying how he's not really into like exorcism movies, and I was like, you know what, I guess I'm not either, because like it's good, but people were really kind of hyping this movie up, and maybe that was also the problem. Maybe my expectations were too high.
It was
high.
A buzz film for sure.
It's still cool to watch. It's a cool idea. Like it's played out as like a late night show in the 70s. It's got cool aesthetics because it feels like a TV show in the 70s, like a guy trying to go up against Carson. It's got some decent payoff stuff. It's got some cool like practical effects here and there. I just didn't like fully wow me in the end. I was just like, it was pretty good. I'm glad I see it. I would recommend it, but it wasn't, again, it wasn't like a 4-star until I saw people just giving it 1-star for no reason.
That's stupid. Dummies.
Oh, a quick Pootie Tang aside, because I've been listening to old Louis C.K. on ONA, and it's funny. I mean, he kind of doesn't like the movie because he said it was taken away from him because he was going to edit it like a different way.
I'm sure that fair
enough. I mean, I still think it's good. It sucks. It probably could have been better if he got to make it. But he has the story of when he was casting, because you know there's that scene when Pootie Tang has like the song that he debuts, but it's just like silence.
Uh-huh.
And you know, there's that Asian kid that's freaking out in his room, and the father comes in and yells at him to turn it down or whatever. Well, he's saying like it was just in the script that like an Asian kid is like freaking out in his room, and the dad comes in and yells at him, and he's like, I didn't have any expectations. I just figured it's funny that it was an Asian guy. And he's like, but all the people that came in to audition were putting on these like super like Chinese over the top. And he's like, we didn't even ask them to do that or anything, but they'd be like, oh, you turn that down. And he'd have to be like, no, you don't have to do that. I'm just do it like a regular
just
guy.
Use
like,
your voice. For anyone out there, by the way, if you've never heard of Pootie Tang, you would hear that title and go, that movie probably sucks. And back in the day, the thing that Jake and I didn't realize until we saw it like on video
was
that, like, and I say this fully understanding how it sounds, it seemed like it was one of those black guy movies. Yeah. That's the way it was marketed. It was marketed like Soul Plane or like Little Man, or like, it was marketed like it was supposed to be like, this movie's not for you.
Yeah, I've never seen
it. But then like, we saw it, like, we rented it for some reason, like, on accident or something. We're like,
black people.
And it was fucking hilarious. And we're like, wait, where is this movie coming from? And that's how I even learned who Louis C.K. was. Like, as he got more popular, I'm like, oh, he's the Pootie Tang guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, it made perfect sense because the first time I saw his stand-up special and he had, like, the whole, like, why isn't racism ever reversed? Like, oh, damn Asian people, they taste like candy. Like, I'm like, oh, no wonder a guy that, like, has this sense of humor wrote that movie. That's fantastic. Because, again, I already said it, but, like, I remember it, like, it was informative. I mean, it was formative to me at the age. Because, like, the idea that he's, like, Pootie Tang's sad about his dad getting killed in the factory accident, and his dad's like in this dangerous looking factory, and literally a man in a gorilla suit runs in and just beats him to death. And it's like that's such a simple joke, but it's like that type of humor is the whole movie.
Yeah.
And all the marketing made it look like it was supposed to be like
Undercover Brother.
Yes.
I mean, well, because
I think it was
like,
around that same time.
I never saw it. I still haven't seen Pootie
Tang. Dude, you would love Pootie Tang because you think it's Undercover Brother and then it's not.
I loved Undercover Brother, so I don't know. I didn't see Pootie
But it just feels like it's that kind of movie. And so, like, anyone out there listening, give Pootie Tang a chance. I haven't heard anyone even mention that movie in like a million years. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but like, that movie is fucking funny.
Do they have the
clip? Yes. Oh, so good.
2 weeks later, another terrible tragedy. His father was fatally injured at the steel mill. It was incredible. Only the third time a man had been mauled by a gorilla at that steel mill. On his deathbed, Daddy Tang had Pootie make a solemn promise.
Pootie, I know I brought you up tough, but that's because I love you. It's tough out there, Pootie. You got drugs, crime, gorillas.
It's a genuinely funny movie, and it's a very silly movie, but like, it's not at all what, again, I don't know, anyone watching this movie doesn't know what the fucking marketing was like, but the marketing, they sold it like it was Soul Plane or Undercover Brother or something, and it was so much better than
that. It's so funny, it's recommending us watching because it's from the live.
Dude, yeah, Pootie Tang's fucking great.
Well, because it's almost kind of like a take on a 70s blaxploitation character, but it's just a silly, goofy movie about a guy who, like, speaks unintelligibly, like you can't understand what he's saying, but everyone else understands what he's saying.
And it's great. It does a blaxploitation movie in the same way that the Brady Bunch movies tried to like take that and do something with it, or 21 Jump Street, or like those movies. What they did for, like, technically they were remakes, but really they were like very, very different things. That is what Pootie Tang does for blaxploitation, and it's so funny. Mm.
You said comedy shows, Jeff. I'm trying to think. Like, a lot of comedy shows, it's not that I end up not liking them, but, like, I mean, I remember I was a big fan of The Office, but I can't really even imagine, like, watching The Office now. I don't know if that's just because it became such a thing.
I bet if it was on and you were watching it, it'd be like, this is funny.
There's good old jokes.
I mean,
jokes
Community,
that
I know Mike rewatched Community not too long ago. I've always thought about rewatching it, but I haven't.
Jim, you got to rewatch it. They're about to put on Peacock. And the bummer thing about Netflix is Netflix got rid of the Ken Jeong D&D episode because of that. The fake ass.
But he's not blackface, but he's just black.
The show doesn't even pretend that, like, they don't even, like,
do a joke where
they're like, guys, that's not what black guys look like. They don't even do that. Just random idiots on the internet got offended, so they got rid of it. And it's never been on Netflix ever since. Now they're moving it to Peacock, and that episode's getting added back in.
Let's go. Peacock's based.
You gotta watch that show, Jim. I swear, I mean it. Even the Yahoo season is good. It's Community is legit good, and it's probably like it's probably the best comedy show. I mean, I really like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as well, but that comes with the music, and that's a harder sell for people. But even without the music, it's a funny show. But, like, I think Community is probably like a pretty easy one for me.
I mean, Seinfeld's an obvious one. I'll throw that on all the time.
Simpsons.
Simpsons, obviously. Five. I mean, Simpsons is like, you don't even have to, like, think
six.
About it. Even bad Simpsons is sometimes better than, like, good other things.
Always Sunny, obviously. That's another one that, like, I just stopped watching like a decade ago, but it's still been making episodes. But I recently, we for Podcasts About the Podcast, we did their podcast about their Always Sunny rewatch. And it's just so funny to think that, because we did the Dayman episode. It's so funny to think that they just had a musical about a kid getting molested. But, like, you know, I guess it's like a common thing to be like, oh, why isn't someone canceled or whatever? But for whatever reason, like, they don't even attempt to apologize or address it.
And
anything.
It's one of their best episodes and classic episodes.
But, like, they're really smart where they don't bother even trying to be like, it's fucked up that we did that. They just kind of completely gloss over it.
Mm-hmm.
They just talk about, like, everything else. And don't even give an op, because it's like almost if you show a little bit, that's like someone will take that crack and like rip the door open and make you apologize or have to explain where the humor came from or anything like that. That's a show I've always, that's another one I've been meaning to at least go back to watch the stuff that I haven't watched. But I also think the same thing about The Simpsons. I always will, like, I got to go back to like season 18 or whatever and then pick up where I haven't really watched because I'm sure all the newer stuff, even though it kind of sucks, I bet you if you rewatched it, there's a lot of good stuff
too. Mike watched it on the plane. We're cracking up at, like, it was like the current season.
There was a Japanese, we were going to Japan. There's an episode that was like hilarious. And I have heard, and this feels real because I keep hearing it disparately and from different people, very different people, that like people are saying that like the last two seasons of The Simpsons are like the best it's been in a very long time.
Hmm.
Not as good as classic Simpsons, but like it's literally never been better. They clearly like it's like a different tone. Like they're getting back to their roots of like the type of humor. And then I've even seen clips on Facebook where I'm like, I kind of believe that because this is not like this is better than the commercials I was
there
seeing
was a time
5 years ago.
It was like season 25 or something where I was watching it again and it was funny, but yeah. I don't, you know. That was
Steffo's saying that Simpsons is good again.
Yeah, I've heard that it's like it's better than it's been in a really long time recently.
Goldberger's talking about Shameless. Shameless season one is after that's downhill. I mean, Shameless, I think like the first four or five seasons are very good. It is a comedy, but it's also like a dramedy. I guess it's more comedy than anything. It does have a lot of shocking like humor in it. But yeah, I loved that show in the beginning. It's one of those shows that just went on for so long. It just really fizzled out and became annoying though. Freaks and Geeks, classic. Yeah,
I brought this up a couple times, and I would have to rewatch it to know if it wasn't just me being a kid, but like. I thought the Drew Carey Show when I was a kid was super funny.
That's something I never really watched it.
Well, the problem is it's one of those shows that like doesn't stream anywhere.
Yeah, I think
no
did,
one knows.
You did mention this before.
Yeah, one knows why, and I wonder if that's why no one thinks about it because like it had its run and then disappeared forever. And I do remember again, not just because it's Norm. The Norm Show was fucking super funny, and it was super short-lived, and it was hilarious.
I vaguely remember that. Oh, yeah, Scrubs. Scrubs always comes up. Scrubs is a fucking classic.
Scrubs is a classic.
I go the other way, too, though, because I'll randomly throw on Perfect Strangers, and I always laugh.
Uh-huh.
It's such a funny, dumb show. I mean,
Falky
maybe some of it's
super funny. It's a good premise.
Some of it's nostalgia, I guess, but there is just legit physical. I mean, it's physical broad comedy, but it's still just funny. Yeah. And Balky's a class. I Balky, mean, and also dude. Cousin Larry's like what a great straight man.
Diggy hot goat lips, my dude. Dude, Larry showed up on She-Hulk. He was She-Hulk's dad.
Oh, I think you told
that
me.
That was
yeah,
actually how I
me.
Tried to convince you to watch She-Hulk was by saying like, hey, Larry's on it, Jim. Larry's her dad. And Jim, he's great.
Well, did I make us? I feel like maybe I've done this before. Have I made us watch the Perfect Stranger like Bibi Bopka's song?
Yeah,
I love
because
Bibi
I knew
song.
It and Jim Jeff didn't.
What else? I'm trying to think. Other classics.
I mean, this is sort of different, but and again, this is just shit that obviously makes sense. Like, Whose Line Is It Anyway was a huge thing for me.
I never really watched that.
Yeah, me and Jake were like, I mean, anyone who's watched the show knows our like affinity towards improv style joking like that. And Whose Line Is It Anyway was like, for its misses, there are so many jokes happening so many times that the hits are what you remember, and the hits are often very, very good.
Because
those guys know what they're doing. So I remember, like, I loved Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah, Stacks, Clerks cartoon. Love the Clerks
Dude,
cartoon.
The Clerks
it's
cartoon,
so funny.
It came out 5 years too early, because if it came out, like, just a tiny bit later, that thing would have had, like, fucking 10 seasons. That Kevin Smith would be a different person,
yes.
Because his... He would have been attached to that show for fucking... Like, he would have been Seth MacFarlane. Dude, that show was so funny. To this day, me and Sean Group, who you guys know, will, like, if we're telling someone, like, each other an excuse, we'll be like, there was this big B.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because anytime Randall or Dante don't want to do something, they're always telling me, oh, I can't go out the back door. There's this big bee. Oh, yeah, I want to use the dumpster, but there's this big bee.
I forget that they're talking about a show that won some sort of award, and they're like, oh, what's that award for? And they're like, oh, that's for shows that don't use the words retarded or queer. And he's like, that's retarded and queer.
Yeah. Or when they're doing the flashback episode, they're like, hey, remember when we did that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, no, he goes, we're not watching oh, yeah. that. Oh, it was Flint's. It's like... It's like Flintstones List. Yeah. It's like Flintstones doing Schindler's List. And he's like, we're not watching that. Hey, remember when we watched that? And
yeah.
It cuts to a clip of Flintstones. It's like, it's just the Flintstones characters in a having to go into, they're being loaded up on the train, but then they pick it up and they have to start walking with it.
Or when Randall's in court and all of the jurors are basketball players, he's like, don't worry, Dante, I got this. I'm going to appeal to their demographic. Now, everybody, I'm just like you. I know what it's like to pick up my welfare check while I'm drinking grape soda because so I don't have a job. Everybody's like, what the fuck?
And he's like, hey, oh.
Yeah. And they're just like, they don't want to do it. No, Clerks cartoon is so, so funny. That is so funny.
You said it. You said it.
I remember when that show bombed. It had that Second Life because they put it on DVD.
Yeah.
And you could find basically the $10 DVD of the entire series, like six episodes, at Target constantly. And so I was always telling people I'd get it for them for gifts and shit, but I still have my Clerks TV series DVD.
I still have my Clerks DVD somewhere too.
That's another one that I believe it's like some weird rights issue. It just...
Yeah.
Kevin Smith Plus, can't even like put it anywhere.
And you almost don't want to because people would just be upset about it.
Yeah.
Like there's... Like it's weird. It was on ABC and it's edgy as fuck.
Dude,
like,
yeah.
There's that joke about the Challenger explosion. Like, and they're like, this is the first time we ever sent a teacher into space and just shows the spaceship go and explode. Like, it's barely a joke.
Yeah, there's almost no joke to it. Because like, I remember Firefly wasn't long after that. And I remember always being like, man, imagine if the Clerks animated series got the same outcry that Firefly got. Yeah. We would have gotten another season, or Fox would have picked it up, or like, dude, again, just like, just a tiny, let it happen around the same time that Family Guy and something else that got canceled. Oh, Futurama. Futurama came out, and then they both got canceled and got brought back. One, Clerks would have lasted longer because shows like that were like really realistically, Family Guy was ripping off Clerks more than it was ripping off anything, because Clerks did that referential jump around stuff, but it did it well before Family Guy did.
Yeah. And it was more like it was kind of the idea, like, because, you know, Family Guy is always like, oh, yeah, like that one time, blah, blah, blah. But they would do more to be like movies kind of, which was kind of better.
And it was on topic because it was Dante and Randall. And that was kind of their thing, is the pop culture stuff. So like, man, just like 2 or 3 years later, that show would have gotten more seasons. And there's no way that it wouldn't have just become a classic. It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
Real quick before we finish up here, I did want to watch this. Did you see this gnarly Willem Dafoe video on WorldStar?
Yeah. No.
It just...
By the way, describing a video of Willem Dafoe and having to add the word gnarly, they're always gnarly, but the fact that you said that means that it's got to be way worse.
Well, it's just funny because he's just kind of hanging out as a guy. He like just looks like a bum. Yeah. He just looks like a bum in New York or something, but... He's just doing a fit check for somebody.
Yeah, he's dressed Jake.
And he's just the cool... I mean, as you would expect, he's the coolest guy. But it also is great that he kind of looks like a drug addict crackhead also.
How you doing today?
Good.
What's your name and where you from?
Willem Dafoe. I'm from Wisconsin.
Ooh, Wisconsin is in the house. Stop playing with him.
I'm from...
Does this guy not know who Willem Dafoe is?
He must know. That's just maybe part of it. People do videos like this all the time where they're like, hey, what's your name? What's your job? Or whatever.
Oh, but they know.
Yeah. Okay. I assume that's what he's doing. I guess it's possible he doesn't know. But I like it. Willem Dafoe does a bit like, no, I'm from Rome. Yeah, great joke.
That is a great joke.
Wisconsin is in the house. Stop playing with him.
I'm from Rome.
Okay. Shout out to Rome. Yeah. Oh, we see your shit. Describe it.
What I'm wearing?
Yep.
Prada shoes.
Prada
coat. T-shirt.
Okay.
Prada.
A green Woolrich sweater.
Damn!
Yeah, look, like another weirdo just kind of wanders in as well.
And he's like, what are you wearing? Yeah, what about you?
Be on the video with me.
T-shirt.
Okay.
A green Woolrich sweater.
Damn! If you give anybody...
She gave him nothing. Guys, she gave him nothing.
I didn't finish here.
Okay.
And then something.
I'm not done yet.
You tell me.
What is that?
I don't know.
Traps. Hold up. If you give anybody a style tip, what would it be?
I wouldn't do that. I would never give anybody a style tip.
Okay.
So hey, how you doing today? You go. Just Willem Dafoe rock. Willem Dafoe reminded me of my drunk dad.
Willem Dafoe. Who knew? Who knew he had it in him?
Dripping in Prada. Everything's like $500.
Yeah, all Prada everything. Oh, I thought he was doing a bit.
Well, yeah, so he is like a Prada spokesman, so probably wow. just gave it to him.
Yeah, because I couldn't tell if it actually was Prada, but also like it would be where it'd be, yeah, just some super expensive regular ass looking shit.
It's just like the most comfortable t-shirt you've ever felt.
I thought he was doing a bit like, look, my basic shit is Prada.
Spokesman.
Wisconsin is in the house now.
Remember all those weird pictures where he's like doing the splits and stuff?
Okay,
shout out to Rome. Oh, we see a fit. Describe it.
When I'm wearing?
Yep.
He does look like he'd be a fun hang, at least.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Prada.
Prada.
I bet you he's the type of guy you could be like, hey, Willem, do that thing.
Yeah,
and he'd be like, oh, okay. And then he'd know our thing to do, and everybody would love whatever it was.
Yeah, everybody was just hanging around Spider-Man 2 set, like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I would just ask him to be fucking Norman Osborn. You know he'd do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A green Woolrich sweater.
Yeah, he's doing it right
like,
now.
Yeah, he'd be like, Jim, everyone has to make a choice. He'd just start going into the spiel for me.
I'd want him to do the thing where he's like mad at me, but then he's like, where am I?
Yeah. Peter, don't tell Harry. Man, what a great guy.
Yeah.
And he's got to be, I mean, is he fucked up? Is he stimming? Like, maybe that's what McGregor was doing. Maybe he was just stimming.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's autistic.
maybe Willem Dafoe's just stimming.
Willem Dafoe? More like Willem Dafriend.
Yeah, exactly. More like stimming to friend.
Nice.
Anyways, yeah, I just wanted to watch that before we finish up. Because, yeah, I guess that, my friends...
That's a show.
He's a motherfucking goddamn cocksucking
piss baby.
Cuntin.
It's a piss baby show.
Yeah, it is.
I'm losing my goddamn
voice. Piss Boy Spring.
It is Piss Boy Spring.
Willem Dafoe's embodying Piss Boy Spring in his Prada ensemble.
Favorite part of the show.
Jim said something that really made me laugh. Oh, you know what? Okay, if I'll double it up. Jeff, your new bit about Black Twitter, that's probably your best bit so far as far as like trying out material.
Okay,
I think that's a pretty... I think you've not only do you have a good idea, but like there's a lot of room to like work within that arena. I like that.
All right.
Jim said something that like I was cracking up at. Now I don't remember what it is.
Well, I enjoyed people letting us know that they're alive.
Oh, yeah. I always love
it. We always love... go ahead. What?
DB Deathlord's phone call was very funny.
Yes, yeah. DB Deathlord had a great high drunk, just or maybe just vibing call.
Yeah, hanging out.
And for the record, DB, we're not judging you. We don't want you to disappear forever like other people who have called that we, I guess, didn't immediately love the call and then they just never listened again.
I mean, I always love when we get to talk about Corey Feldman. We are the number one news source when it comes to Corey Feldman and his many faux pas.
Yeah. Feldbog,
the truth about him, because he really coasts off of this assumed image you have of him being a victim. But if you pay attention like we do, you understand that he says that he's never actually been molested. It was his friend that was molested. And if anyone did try to molest him, he fought them off and threatened to murder them.
Yeah.
He is literally the one exception to what he refers to as a pandemic in Hollywood.
We also discussed the quiet on set doc. We defended Dan Schneider.
I don't know if we did that.
We didn't really defend him. We just
poked holes in
the documentary.
In the doc. The doc feels like it's reaching a lot.
We got to hear
about Mike. Make fun of that woman for being fat a lot.
We got to hear about Mike's story about being a big dumbass.
Yes.
Alarm.
Yeah, a big dumb asshole.
I like the button.
We got to see Conor McGregor stimming.
Yeah.
We had
a
good discussion on comedies. I think we do that every now and then, but I think there's always something different we get into. So I enjoy that. Okay. And I enjoy hearing from you, the people in the chat, on the comedies you enjoyed.
I gotta watch Top Secret, and I gotta watch Naked Gun, and I gotta watch Airplane for sure. Because again, dude, every single clip of Top Secret looks fucking funny. Speaking of every single of something seeming funny, go to patreon.com/JimAndThem because every single show we have on there for you is hilarious. Not just the shows in the Freetard tier, where you can join that tier, spend $0 and become a Freetard for Jim and Them. You can also pay money, and then you'll be in the non-Freetard tier.
Yes.
And there's quite literally multiple hundreds of movie commentaries, hundreds and hundreds of shows. We've been doing the Patreon for like, I think it's like almost 9 years, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's up there.
There's a lot of stuff. To the point where when I was sharing stuff for the free tier, it was on the older side. And people that are members of the Patreon now are like, oh, shit, I'm going to watch this and comment on it because I've never seen it or heard it because there's so much stuff on there.
Hell
so
yeah.
So check it out. Patreon.com/JimAndThem. If you have ever been like hankering for extra stuff, I know everybody's always looking for like more things to listen to because you only have so many things to listen to during the week. The Patreon would be amazing for you. The backlog is amazing. Nothing but funny stuff on there. Jim, what do we got up there recently?
Oh, my God. We got a new Caddy Studs Investigations, our true crime podcast, CSI Las Vegas, where we discuss the toy box or toolbox.
Yeah, toy box killer.
Toy box. The toy box killer. It's a blast. We also got there's a Jim Tervention that went up recently. We did record. We got back into Reacher Season 2. We just recorded before the show earlier tonight. That'll be going up soon.
Yes.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg of patreon.com/JimAndThem.
Yes. Hell yeah. You know what's just the tip of the iceberg?
Yeah, what's
is
that?
Is that Jim Scampoli content on Jim and Them, because there's so much more on Shows What You Know.
Absolutely. I host a podcast with Jacob Burrows at showswhatyouknow.com. We have television podcasts. We discuss shows. We create shows. We discuss show podcasts, like TV show podcasts. Jacob discussed the real history behind your favorite history programs. You can find all of that at showswhatyouknow.com.
Wow, that's fantastic. Jeff, this is my weekly check-in to ask if those fucking scam artists have put up your goddamn video
yet.
Oh,
no, yet. No movement on that. On there, we're trying
I don't
to
think
get,
they're gonna put it out.
They're supposed to. It's supposed to be episode one on there. We'll see. I'm starting to think it's what open micers do is start a show and then they run the show, then they can't bomb. And
God
then
damn
they
it.
Never put up their shit. I don't know. They paid less on the second show, so we'll see.
Oh, no.
20 instead of 25.
Oh, no.
Well, what else you got going
money.
On?
Just the usual. I'll be around hitting the mics. Yeah, I don't know. Follow on Instagram, Jeff X Murphy. And suck my dick.
Yeah. Nice. My endorsement is, I mean, it's technically something I've endorsed before because I endorsed the show Physical 100, but the second season of Physical 100, a Korean reality show where a bunch of yoked out freaks compete to see who has the best body in the world. It's fucking awesome.
Just watching Physical 100, jacking off.
Jacking off, keeping me up.
I think it's a great show, and it's got a fun premise in how it goes. There's a couple qualms I have with this season so far, but I still think it's good, and I like a lot of the characters. I like the way that, Jim, they do something you'd appreciate because it's Survivor style. The episodes are very long.
Yeah.
And they actually, like, I could see some people being like, Jesus Christ, get to the fucking events and then just tell me who's gone. They, like, they spend a lot of time with that stuff. Like, each episode is, like, some of them are, like, an hour and 20 minutes long.
Mm.
So, like, they don't rush through everything. And it really makes the impact of people leaving higher. You get to know more people. The events feel more like they really drive home how grueling it is for some of these people to be doing like these physical events, because like it's not just over in 5 minutes when it probably could have been. So that's my endorsement. Check out the show Physical 100. I am picking up what it's putting down this season. One of the guys from the first season that like went out really early and regretted it, he's back and he's fucking crazy. He looks
ripped
like
a, and ready to go.
Dude, he is stupid ripped. Even though he was last season, he's even more. And he's like the front runner this season, which is even crazier. So it's like this like underdog story. There was an FBI agent, an American FBI agent, who got beaten by a girl and sent home immediately.
Oh,
take
no.
that, Hawaii Tom.
Take your, that masculinity.
No, it's a great show. It's on Netflix. They're breaking out the episodes differently this time, which Netflix has been doing more and more lately, where it's like the first four are now, and then the next four are in like 2 weeks, and then
is,
the next
that's
four.
That's what Love is Blind does.
Yeah, it's something like that. So check it out. They're up. Physical 100. I really like it. That's my endorsement this week.
Hell yeah. Well, On that, I'm Jim.
And we're there.
And we're out.
Word.